Well, I wonder if you ever fall into conversations with people where you end up talking about how bad things are these days. I wonder if you've ever been in those sort of situations. Those of us who are a little bit older tend to get into that sort of situation. When we were younger, things were different. We didn't have to lock the back door, all those kinds of things. We bemoan, we complain about the changes that have taken place in our society. And we wonder what's happened to the values that have underpinned our Australian way of life. And as I said, I myself find myself doing that from time to time. But there is always, when it happens to me, a little bit of a sense of uneasiness that this is not quite the right way to be talking. Well, Daniel 12 has helped me to understand why I do feel a bit uneasy about that. So let's pray and we'll dig in. Father in heaven, thanks so much for the privilege of working through the book of Daniel. We thank you for the opportunity to look not just at the great stories at the beginning, but also at these more complicated, more vague visions at the end. We pray, Father, that you'll help us this morning to make sense of this last chapter and to see the big picture of this book, and we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, Daniel 12 speaks quite a bit about the time of the end. Daniel speaks in the first few verses about what those last days, the time of the end, will be like. If you look at verse 1, it says, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then." The time of the end will be marked by extraordinary distress. He says it'll be unlike anything from the beginning of history, since the beginning of nations. That fits in, if you like, with the end of chapter 11, where we see the battle between the kings of the north, the king of the north and the king of the south, and the king of the north doing his terrible work. The end will be a difficult and frightening time, Daniel is told. But there will be deliverance. Deliverance not for all. Daniel's people will be delivered. Not all of them, however, will be delivered. Only those who are in the book. We'll come back to that in a moment. By the way, in verse 1 there, do you notice where he says, "But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." Do you notice that he doesn't say that they'll be experiencing no distress in those days? Not at all. They will experience the distress that's going on in the world. They'll suffer as a result of it. But the promise is they will be kept through it and be kept to its end. But what kind of deliverance will they have? Well, the book speaks of the deliverance is a deliverance of of resurrection. He speaks about the book there, right at the end of verse 1. Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. This mysterious book is something that pops up right throughout the Bible. We find it, for example, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. So there is Moses on the edge of the land speaking to the people of Israel, and he mentions this book, which is sometimes called the Book of Life. It's in Psalm 69 and also in, I think it's Psalm 56. It's in Jeremiah. It's twice here in the book of Daniel. We saw it in chapter 7 and here again in chapter 12. Jesus mentions the book of life in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. But it's also mentioned right at the end of the Bible. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Let's read a few verses there. Revelation chapter 20, last book of the Bible. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what that he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Very sobering, isn't it? But there we have on that last great day the importance of that book, the book of life. Only those whose names are written in it will live. Now, what happens if your name is not written in it? Going back to Daniel chapter 12 and looking at it from Daniel's point of view, what will happen to those who are not written in it, whose names are not there? Verse 2, who sleep in the dust, in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So he speaks of this resurrection in verse 2. Everyone will be raised. When he speaks of everyone, Daniel is referring, of course, firstly to everyone in Israel. It sounds actually good that everyone's going to be raised. Every one of us will be raised from the grave. That sounds like positive news. But as we read on in verse 2, some are raised to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt. There will be deliverance for those whose names are written in the book. They will enjoy everlasting life. But for those whose names are not written in the book of life, they will experience shame and contempt. I want you to notice that they will not be simply snuffed out. Friends, it's very common for people to believe that when they die, the lights will go out, everything will go black, they will experience nothing, that will be the end of their existence. And there are a lot of people, sadly, in our world who believe that that's all that will happen. But that's a myth. It's not true. The Bible keeps saying everywhere that there will be a conscious existence, but of the most terrible kind, for those whose names are not in the book. It will be an existence that will be inescapable, that will go on in eternity. Why do they experience shame and contempt? Because they've been foolish with their lives. The wise will have a different future. Look with me at verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Who are these wise people? Well, these are the ones who lead many to righteousness. Now, the word righteous means to live rightly before God. The wise are those who know how to live wisely before God. And more than that, they are the ones who do live wisely before God. An example of one of these is Daniel himself, of course. Daniel is not perfect. We saw back in chapter 10 his own sense of inadequacy before God. He is made right in that chapter by God himself. And he's a man who sets his mind to understand God by his word, to humble himself before God. That is the kind of righteousness that God seeks. It's the kind of righteousness we see in Daniel in those first six chapters of the book, played out in life. Daniel is a man who entrusts him and goes on in God's way despite terrible threats. Not only Daniel, but his three friends. Here is the wise man. Here is the wisdom that leads to life. It's people like Daniel who will rise to shine like the stars of the heavens at the resurrection. Now, what a day that day will be. The resurrection of all, the separation of people. It's natural for us to ask, when will this great and terrible day be? And that is Daniel's question in verses 5 and 6. How long before all these things will be fulfilled? And we get that cryptic answer in verse 7, where the man clothed in linen says to him, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. That's clear, isn't it? Calvin very helpfully understands this to mean time is just a long time. And times, or two times, is a very long time. And half a time means a closing period. A time not completed closes. So in other words, the angel here, this man clothed in linen, is saying it's going to be a long time, Daniel, before these things happen. And he goes on to say, when the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. We'll come back to that. So the day of the resurrection of the faithful of Israel is going to be, for Daniel, a long way off. What's going to happen between now and then? What's going to happen to all of those who are waiting for that day? Well, look with me at verse 9. He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. What's going to happen between now and that great day? Well, in those difficult days, many people will be purified, many of God's people. In other words, the godly will be made more godly. That difficulty that comes to them through these days of distress and tribulation, that difficulty will lead to them being more spotless and being refined, as Jean mentioned, as people who have gone through suffering stand steadfast in their faith, their godliness grows to be a model to all. but wickedness will continue. Do you see that in verse 10? But the wicked will continue to be wicked. That is, the evil people will keep doing evil things, bringing suffering to other people. The days of waiting until this day of the end will be days when people will just go on doing their corrupt and perverse and their wrong things. They do not understand, he's told. They do not understand about the end and the resurrection and the judgment that will follow. In other words, between now and then, the world will continue to roll on, much as we see it today, with its blend of the faithful on one hand and the wicked on the other. Many will spread knowledge. People will become wise and grow in godliness through their suffering. But wicked people who do not understand, who do wicked things, will go on. Blessed will be the one who waits and perseveres, who in the dark days are steadfast and immovable. And so finally, Daniel is told in verse 13, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. And with these words, the book of Daniel has ended. We saw in chapters 1 to 6 the marvellous stories of Daniel's and his friends' faithfulness under terrible trials and terrible threats. And we saw God's marvellous deliverance of them. And we've seen in chapters 7 to 12 these vision chapters, the days of the future given some shape, and the assurance that God will deliver his faithful people. Not just Daniel's present experience, but in the ultimate future, God will deliver them. And so the call is constantly in these last chapters to persevere, to be wise as bad things go on and continue. And the end will come. The wicked will receive their reward, and so will the wise. So stand firm, Daniel is being told. Don't give up. Continue in God's righteousness. Now, how does the New Testament help us to understand all this? Well, the vision of Daniel reaches right up to the New Testament and beyond. In verse 7, it speaks of the way in which the God's holy people have been finally broken. And they were broken by the Romans finally in 70 AD. But it reaches beyond even that event to us. For the resurrection of Jesus, the New Testament tells us, has introduced us to the last days. We've been in the last days now for 2,000 years. The events of his death point that way, to the darkening of the sun, the earthquakes, the death of the Son of God. They are terrible, terrible days. Before the end itself, before the return of the Lord Jesus, there are going to be difficult days, days of tribulation. Matthew 24 speaks that way. But then the Lord Jesus will come, and the resurrection will take place. For you see, the New Testament looks forward to the general resurrection as well. Everyone will be raised, not just the Jews, not just Daniel's people, but all humanity will be raised. In Matthew 25, if we read it earlier, the judgment will take place. There will be separation. Those who receive the kingdom and the inheritance that God has promised, and those who will go to eternal fire. Who is going to live and who is going to suffer? Well, in that Matthew 25 passage, Jesus speaks about those who, trusting their Lord, have simply got on with the business of loving their brothers and sisters in need because they are God's children. It's been natural and instinctive for them to love their Christian brothers and sisters, and they are welcomed into God's kingdom. On the other hand, there are those who perish, though they have been busily, each one doing good, but in reality have had no care for or love for the children of God. That is, no love of the children of God because they are the children of God. To put it in other terms, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for righteousness and live the life of love and obedience that he calls us to. These are the wise. And so it's our hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. We are those who are trusting and relying upon his death. And we are those who look to his resurrection from the grave for our hope of eternal life. His resurrection is the promise and the guarantee of our resurrection. Our trust is in him for that last day. We shall be saved through his life, as Paul puts it in Romans 5. And so we are looking forward to his coming again. And our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come in these difficult days. But until then, just as it was for Daniel, people will go on from bad to worse. We've been warned that that will be the case. Society will decay and become hostile to us. And so why am I moaning and complaining to everyone else about the fact that it's happening? Jesus has told me that that's exactly what will take place. Difficulty and pain awaits us. Some will fall away. Some, their love will grow cold. So in love with the world will they be. But the faithful will find in these trials the opportunity to grow in holiness, to grow in godliness. They will welcome the opportunity to be purified, to be made spotless through these trials, through these difficulties. And the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Will that be you? Will you prove that your name is written in the book of life? Will you continue to hope in Christ in 5 years' time? In 10 years' time, on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, may God, by his grace, bring you to the end, ready and glad to meet our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have raised our sights to the end. Father, you promise that these days will be difficult, that we as your people will be caught up in that. And we pray that you would enable us so to suffer that we might be purified and grow in godliness and holiness. Give us endurance. Oh, Father, it's so difficult and painful sometimes. Please work in us by your grace that we might stand and be standing on the day of the Lord Jesus, ready and glad to meet him. Please be with us and help us to that end. In Jesus' name. Amen.